We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. Our beautiful sister in Christ, Miss Tina Dobbs, is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is our handsome brother in Christ, Pastor Tom Spence.
Good morning.
How are you this morning, sir?
I am wonderful.
Amen. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and Miss Tina will get that posted shortly after the program is ended. I'm not even going to lie and say we're going to get it posted, because there's no we. She's been the one doing it mostly, and I love you. You're awesome sauce. Our sponsor for today is Barbara Dyson Ford, located right here in Elk City. If you're in the market for a new or used vehicle, I want to encourage you to reach out to Barbara Dyson, because they can find you what you're looking for. Even if it's a red Dodge or a minivan. If you would like to be put on the blessing will for the blessing book for this month, all you have to do is like, share, and comment. Done. The book for this month is Hard Sayings, Reconciling the Cost of Discipleship and the American Dream by Pastor Joshua West. Yeehaw. I think I covered it all.
All right. Are we ready to pray?
Yes, sir. Would you pray to start us out?
All right. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We come with thanksgiving and praise. We are a grateful people, and we praise your name. We lift on high the name of Jesus. Lord, we come to you this morning and ask you to bless this broadcast. Bless all who receive it. Let it reach teachable spirits, teachable hearts. And Lord, once we've understood your word, help us to put your words into practice. Lord, we don't want to just be spectators. We want to get on the field. We want to do what you've called us to do. We want to be known by our love. So, Lord, bless this time that we have together this morning. And as we conclude this hour, let us go into the world and be known by our love and bring glory to your name. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. I like your title this morning, Faith Stories.
Faith Stories. We're going to do a couple of them, okay. I think. Okay. How about first I remind people that on the 8th of July, in Birds Flat, America, we will do what we call the Walk a Block for Jesus. This is 15, 16, 17. We've done this a bunch. Might be going on 20 years. I ought to go add them up when I get back. And we go out. We're going to Dill City and Birds Flat this year. We're going to go knock on doors in Dill City and talk to people, as many people as will answer their door. And we're going to hang stuff on doors in Birds Flat. Birds Flat's a little bit bigger. So we're just going to leave them packets, but in Dill City, we're going to take a team out there to knock and talk and tell people that God loves them and tell people that you need to turn away from the ways of the world and come to the ways of God. That's where real life is, and that's something we're all called to do. We go into the world with the good news. Sometimes we need to get out of our church buildings. In the big cities, they've got rules and regulations galore. Out here in western Oklahoma, I think we can still go out and knock on somebody's door. We've done this many times before. One year we went out just to pray with people, and there were people standing out in the yard doing things, and we said, can we pray with you? And you would not believe the number of people said, man, I've needed prayer for so long. I was just wondering what I was going to do, and they were very receptive. We've gone around and prayed for the school classrooms and different places in town, and most of the time we're either giving out gospels or we're knocking and talking, but... this year, we're going to do a little bit of both. We're going to do Dill City and Burns Flat. If you want to participate, you don't have to belong to the Cumberland Presbyterian Church. It'll be 9 o'clock, Saturday, July 8th. And so that's just a little over a week away. We'll usually wrap up by noon before it gets real hot. We might get rained on once or twice. It happens. You know, I'll brief everyone on how to dodge the raindrops, and we'll just keep on going. But it's a good thing. We are called, you know, even if you don't have the gift of evangelism, we're all called to share. And if you're not real comfortable, don't worry. We team people up in groups. And a lot of times we get kids, and kids are really, really good at getting people to talk. Say, hey, can we talk to your kids? We want to talk to them about, because the next week we have Vacation Bible School, so we tell everyone about Vacation Bible School. And you know, the kids get them talking about that, and then the adults get to talk to the parents and say, yeah, we got good stuff for you too. So 8th of July, mark it on your calendar, save the date. 9 o'clock will be done by noon. As long as you believe in Jesus Christ, you're called to go in the world, so why don't you go on that day? And we'll have plenty of stuff to give out, and plenty of cold water. We're not going to let anybody pass out. It'll, you know, we come back and we have lunch. And during lunch, hopefully we get to tell some good stories about, you know, things that happened. And there are good testimonies that have come of these. And sometimes we reach somebody. And sometimes we might have planted a seed and we'll never see what came of it. But we're going to go plant those seeds. Amen. And then, like I said, the following week's Vacation Bible School. And it'll be an evening one. I think it'll be 5 to 7. I'll post on our Facebook page exactly. Kendra Walker is our VBS director. So when she tells me what the times are, I post them. I don't want to go out there and guess and post the wrong ones. And then, of course, we have our Sunday services, 9 and 11, and our Christian education at 10 in between. So this morning I want to talk about a couple of faith stories. In Burns Flat, we've been going through the book of Genesis. We got up to chapter 36. It was about the descendants of Esau. And I said, you know, what am I going to do preaching this long list of people that don't even show up in the chosen people, don't show up in the genealogy of Christ? So I said, let me turn the clock ahead and go to a time when Edom, which would be the descendants of Esau, come to, with the descendants of Jacob, which would be Judah, in a time after the kingdom had split. So there's Israel, Judah, and Edom that we're going to talk about today. It's in 2 Kings chapter 3. It's pretty much the whole chapter. I'm not going to read the chapter to you, but I'm going to tell you what's going on there. Like I say, the king of Edom is involved, and if you didn't know this, Edom is not in the promised land. It's a border of the promised land, and Edom is, or the descendants of Esau, and then the descendants of Jacob go on and form the line of Christ, and the chosen people comes from them. But it's interesting that Jacob and Esau split. Jacob went back east because he had to get away from Esau because Esau wanted to kill him. I don't know if you remember that. He had tricked him out of his birthright for a bowl of stew. He had stolen his father's blessing for the firstborn. And the parents said, you better get out of town. But while you're out there, pick yourself up a wife instead of one of these pagan girls out here. So they did that. And when Jacob comes back, he's not sure if his brother's still going to angry and wants to kill him or not. And they're going along, and so Jacob's coming back, and he sends out servants and gifts and stuff, and they come back and say, yeah, your brother's coming to meet you, but he's bringing 400 men. He's like, okay, that doesn't sound too great, but the reunion was good. But after that, they kind of split, and it's kind of like this town isn't big enough for the both of us. They all had huge flocks and herds, so Esau and his descendants went what would be outside of the promised land that was given to the descendants of Jacob, and Jacob's inside the promised land. But a time after they've come out of Egypt and after the kings. Remember, the first king was Saul. Saul was kind of like a worldly king. God said, this is what a king looks like. And then he gave David, a man after God's own heart, and then Solomon, wisest man to ever live. But after Solomon, they couldn't keep the kingdom together. It divided. In the north was Israel, in the south was Judah. And so that's the situation we're in here. And Israel had somehow got the upper hand on Moab. I don't know if it was in a war or just politically, but they required Moab to pay tribute. It's kind of like a tax you usually pay for losing a war. What today we'd call it reparations. You lost, so you got to give me, it was like 100,000 rams and 100,000 sheep worth of wool. It's like, that's a big payment. Okay, well, the king of Israel, Ahab, died. And so the king of Moab, Misha, decides to test the new king, who's Joram, and does not pay the tribute. Now, Ahab was evil king. Okay, if you go down your list of kings, you get a whole bunch of evil ones in Israel. In fact, I think they're all evil. In Judah, you might get, you know, some that are good, some that are bad, some are kind of lukewarm in there. You know, nobody to really get excited about back in this time. But Ahab was just bad. His son Joram was described as not as bad as his mother and father. Could you imagine putting that on your resume? Yeah, okay, I don't have anything to say other than I'm not as bad as my mom and dad were. Okay, so, but he knew God. He just didn't really serve God. He didn't worship him, but he knew about him. And so Joram is the king when Moab stops paying the tribute. And so Joram wants to go to Moab and say, you're going to pay, or just destroy him completely. But when you do that, you want to always go with overwhelming odds. So he asked Judah and Edom to go with him. So there's three kings, and they're going to go, and they're going to whip up on Moab in battle and make them start paying their tribute again. And whether this sounds like ancient stuff or not, nations really paid tribute, reparations, all the way up to the end of World War II is where they pretty much stopped. I don't know if y'all remember the Marshall Plan from your United States history at the end of World War II. Instead of making all the defeated nations pay reparations, we went in and restored the defeated nations and tried to make them allies. And so after World War II, the best thing you could do was lose a war in the United States and come in and build your country back up. But before then, everyone pretty much paid tribute or reparations. You had to pay for losing. And that was the thing. And okay, let me get back to the three armies. They're marching towards Moab. To get to Moab, you have to cross a lot of desert. And so they've been marching about a week, and they run out of water. Completely out of water. And I don't know what you know about military operations and logistics, but you can have all the diesel fuel you want, all the ammunition you want in the modern world, in a modern army. If you run out of water, you come to a halt, and you become vulnerable. And so they're going along, and they run out of water, and they're out there, and they don't know what to do. And the king, Joram, cries out. You know, I guess he's crying out to God and saying, did God bring us here for all of us to die at the hands of Moab? And it's like crazy stuff. It's like, yeah, what's going on here? How did God let us run out of water? Which is, he doesn't say that exactly, but I think he's kind of just playing the self-pity card here. It's like, was God going to let us, you know, just be defeated by Moab because we didn't do enough planting to have enough water? And so what are we going to do? He says, is there a prophet around? And sure enough, there was a prophet. His name was Elisha. You've heard of Elisha. And he's there. So they summon Elisha. And so here's Joram and the two other kings. And Elisha gets there. And they want to ask him, you know, would you give us a prophecy? Would you tell us what God wants us to do? And Elisha says, yeah, Joram, I wouldn't give you the time of day. But if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat over here, you know, I would just walk away and say, good luck. Why don't you go seek counsel from those fake gods that you're following and that your mom and dad followed a whole bunch? But he said, because Jehoshaphat here, king of Judah's here, I'll go see what God wants. But I need a harpist. Someone's got to play music for me. So I'm scratching my head thinking, you know, just how does an army run out of water but they have a harp with them? You know, it's like, you know, couldn't you have taken on that? Whatever you're carrying the harp on, couldn't you put some more water? But no, they've got a harp. And I'm also wondering if they had a prophet with them. Why didn't they consult the prophet before they went to war? It's like, okay, this is, yeah, really, these three kings have got themselves in a really, really bad spot. Do you think if they consulted God ahead of time, maybe it wouldn't have come out that way? Maybe it would, but I think the point's going to be made here, what happens. But Elisha, he goes, and the harpist plays for him, and he comes back and says, here's what God says. Okay, realize this is a desert. They're out of water. It's hot. And people are probably in what I would call hunker down mode. They're looking for whatever shade they can get. They're trying to conserve the water that's in their body so they don't sweat it all away and die sooner. And Elisha tells the kings, this is what you're supposed to do. Go out and have your men dig ditches. He says, you will not see a single cloud. You will not see a drop of rain, but God will fill the ditches with water. So here's old the king of Israel, Joram, there, and this prophet he knows doesn't like him has told him to go send his men out and dig ditches in the heat of the day when they have no water. And you got to be thinking, this is some screwball stuff here. But what else is he going to do? You know, it's like, I asked for this prophet told me this. Well, in other parts of the Bible, they sent for other prophets. You mean some of my false God prophets, they'll tell me what I want to hear. But this one says, nope, you want God to give you water, you go out and dig ditches in the heat of the day. And they did. And they did. And then the next day, without a cloud in the sky, without seeing a drop of rain, water starts rushing in from Edom and fills all the ditches. And the men and the beasts and everything are replenished. And I think we kind of know what that's like. If you've ever gone down Lake Luger by Quartz Mountain and all that, it gets down low, 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 low. And then it won't rain in Greer County, but somewhere up north, it's rain and the water starts coming up. When it rains in Greer County, it normally comes with tornadoes and they go on up to Lawton and more. But, you know, sometimes a lake fills up because of not the rain on top of the lake. You know, that's not going to raise it very much. It's what's coming from somewhere else, and it rushes in, and it fills back up, and it's filled up some. It needs to fill up some more, but that's kind of what happened here. It rained in Edom, out of sight, but then the water, the flooding, I guess, kind of came in, filled up the trenches, filled up the ditches, and everyone was replenished. Now then, three armies are marching towards Moab. Don't you think that Moab would be looking for armies coming their way because they decided to stop paying the tribute? When they decided to stop paying, they probably put out extra sentries and sentinels and said, let's see if they're going to do anything, because, you know, they may not. Maybe they'll just leave it alone and forget it, but if they do, I got to be ready. And so sure enough, the armies are coming, and so Moab mobilizes its army, and the commander of the Moabite army, he comes up, and obviously at a vantage point, he's looking down in the valley where they dug the ditches, and he's not seeing any movement. He's not seeing the three armies moving at all. But the sun hits the water in such a way it's red and it looks like blood. And so the Moabite commander thinks, the three kings have turned on each other and they've killed each other. This is going to be fun. All we have to do now is go claim our plunder. The spoils of war, if you will. We get to claim the spoils of war from a battle we didn't have to fight. And so he just like turns his men loose and said, go get what you want. That's how you paid your army back then, whatever the spoils of war were. You know, they didn't have to wait for Congress to appropriate money and all that. They said, if you whoop them, you take their stuff. And that's the way it was. They said, go take their stuff. And so in just ragtag form, imagine a whole army just racing down, you know, towards this encampment, thinking, you know, everyone's dead. I'm just getting their stuff, and find out they're not dead. They're actually just well-rested and ready to fight. And so Moab is defeated, just hands down. And they don't stop there. The army picks up and it goes on into Moab and destroys the city and fouls the ground. And one of the things you did back then, just if you really wanted to keep your enemy down, you sowed salt into the soil so the crops took a long time to come back. And it's kind of a mean thing to do. But what you want is for your enemy that you've just defeated is paying you tribute. You want it to really hurt, and you also don't want them to get strong economically where they might challenge you at a later date. So they did all of that to Moab. All because they listened to a prophet. They listened to God through a prophet tell them to do something that was just crazy. Okay, I'm going to tell you, Joram probably thought, the men are going to turn on me. They're already out of water. They're dehydrated. They don't know. You know, there's no resupply coming. And so it's like, I'm going to tell them all to dig ditches. Now, the other two kings had to do the same thing. But Joram's the one that's a little suspicious of Elisha, because Elisha just told him outright, don't like you. Okay, you know, I just assumed you were out of here. So that's a tough one right there. It's a story of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We remember that one from Hebrews at the start of chapter 11 there. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, the descendants of Jacob and the descendants of Esau would reunite in this time and share victory because they were faithful to the command of the one true God. Okay, the lineages had separated, geography had separated them, but in this moment, faith in God united them in victory. Okay, pretty cool story, but I kind of have this thing that I'm supposed to connect what's going on in the Bible to our own lives. So how do I connect this? Well, I'm going to tell you, it's real easy. Faith is always connectable. Faith is connectable to anything going on in our lives. But the lesson here is that God may call us to do something we think is just absolutely crazy. And we think there's no way we could do, there's no way I can go out and dig ditches. I'm already out of water. I'm just trying to die, you know, take as long as I can to die. And you want me to dig ditches? You want me to die right now? Is that the deal? Well, sometimes God may ask us to do the equivalent of digging ditches. When it looks hopeless, when it looks like all I can do, God's retreat, all I can do is just sit here and do nothing, all I can do is sing poor, poor, pitiful me, and you want me to go dig ditches? What do? Well, the answer is, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. That's the Proverbs 3 and 5 come in once again, and I've told my congregation I can either connect the parable of the talents or Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 with any sermon I ever preach. I mean, trust in the Lord is always a message. What does that mean? We might just have to break out our shovels here in 2023 and go out and dig ditches. Now, I don't think there'll be literal ditches, but we might just have to do some things that just don't make sense. So when God tells us to do something and our own understanding tells us he's crazy, no way, it's not going to work, we still grab our shovel and we dig that ditch, even if it's in the hot sun when we have no water. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you go back to this story in the Second Kings, it's like, okay, that took a lot of faith to go out and dig those ditches. It took faith in the kings. You know, Joram just occasionally might call out to the one true God. The rest of the time, he's looking at all these false gods. Judah, a little bit better. But, you know, Edom is like, yeah, okay. They're just kind of going along with what the prophet said. But for the men to go out instead of just deciding to walk home and dig ditches, that was some pretty big faith there. So what I told the folks in Burns Flat Cumberland Presbyterian Church is keep your shovel handy. We might have to dig some ditches in 2023. So that's kind of the first faith story. I don't know if it's too early to break, or you want to break down, or you want me to keep going, or what?
Whenever's good for you, sir.
When we break down, I'll switch to my other one.
Okay.
And try to get my voice back since my nose is plugged.
Okay. Okay, so let's pray for Neva and Joe Pyatt as they travel to Texas, I believe, for a wedding. And then I have a glory story, praise report. So yesterday we, I've had guardianship of Angel on and off since he was 2. He's now 10. We got it through the courts, I don't know, some years ago. And an attorney, we had talked to some people, some attorneys, and they wanted $1,000 to $1,500. Well, with Kaylin, you know, just getting a new apartment and all this stuff, that was a reach for us. So we prayed about it, and we were told, we called this one person and they said that we could just do a handwritten. Well, Ouachita County won't accept a handwritten to file. They want the legal documents. So we kind of scrambled for a couple hours, and then, you know, while praying, and then this name popped up. We reached out to the person got us the documents, legal documents we needed. We filled them out. Kaylin and I filled them out, and the Holy Spirit said, go ahead and add, when you take that, have her print out a copy of her hair follicle, a paycheck stub with year to date, and add the lease agreement that they've signed, and file all of that together. And we just was obedient. We listened to the direction. We had court yesterday at 9 a.m. I no longer have guardianship of Angel. He has went home with his mama. Yay. And it's like full circle, you know. For me, it's a full circle. I've had him, and now he's back where he belongs with his mama.
It's a praise, and it's a testimony.
Yeah. So
Probably not the last time we'll hear that story.
It's
supposed to be shared.
Yeah. I'm still getting all the emotions and just the awe of it. I mean, the awe of God that day just blows my mind. I may know enough about legal stuff to get me in big trouble. You know, but God, if you're in a situation and you don't know who, what, when, where, how, what, anything, pray and listen and listen and then follow the instructions, even if it sounds weird.
Yeah, and he will direct your path.
Yes. Yes.
Diva Joe. Okay. Lord, we come to you once again in petition, this time asking for safe travels and a wonderful wedding in Texas. And Lord, it's hot down there too. And take care of both Diva and Joe. They've both been through a lot of stuff. And just keep them healthy and return them to us in good shape. And Lord, let the wedding be a wonderful thing and a blessing to all. This we ask in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Joshua's Crossing Ministries is located right here at the Promise Center in Elk City. Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue, right here in Elk City, Apostle Casey Elliott.
I was wondering if you were going to announce the Christmas in July, too.
No, we'll do that next week.
The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sarah, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse, Tammy Bailey.
We can if you want to hand me one. So the Christmas in July is coming up, y'all. What? Christmas in July at Foss Lake. Lots will be going on. It will be the 33rd Foss Lake Christmas in July, July 7th and 8th. Keep your eye out for these little flyers. They'll be posted everywhere that they will allow us to post them.
Got fireworks again?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, got speakers. Sometimes they've had speakers. There's opening day ceremony. Usually they got somebody out there talking.
Jewelry, t-shirts, crafts, and food. Friday opening for fun at 1 p.m. Lights out at 11. Saturday opening for fun at 8 a.m. Lights out at 11 p.m. Opening ceremony will be 6 p.m. honoring a veterans. Thank you. See, I did that for you,
old military guys.
Yeah. You can say that because...
Because I are one. Yeah, I'm old. Thanks. She called me handsome at the beginning. Now I'm back to old.
No, you called yourself that. I'm just sitting here with
the
bubble.
I've never called myself handsome.
Quit it.
We'll go back to veterans.
Yeah, veterans. And first responsible. First responders. Okay, I had to lift my hands and praise
recovery,
for a minute, y'all.
Right.
By Elk City Honor Guard, Gene Smith Jr. will be the speaker. Parking is free both days. Dean Jackson Band, free concert Friday 8 to 11 p.m. KECO 96.5, main stage, Cedar Point. And that's all you're getting. No, I'm just kidding. The 5K fun run across the dam is Saturday at 7. If you like to run, y'all come on. Y'all come on. Yeah.
Back before I was an old guy, I'd like to run.
I'm just going to do this right here. You can't see me. 8 a.m. disc golf doubles. Kayak trail ride, China Berry, Falls Lake, oh, Falls Lake Little King and Queen Contest. Angel won that 1 year. Because he's so cute. And he roasted me as his act. He was being a comedian. And, oh, my gosh, he roasted me so hard. It was so funny. And then the cornhole tournament. 11 Beckham County Baggers and H2O Baggers cornhole tournament. Cedar Point. $2,000 guaranteed payout. What? Y'all be sure to come out there. It's going to be a blast. Stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake, focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction Realty, 580-225-0269.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We hope to...